Hello, welcome to Reflections on the Scriptures. My name is Murray Shanks. I'm the pastor of Foster Baptist Church on the mid-north coast of New South Wales and Australia. You know, I started following Jesus a long time ago, about 48 years ago, in fact. And in that time, there are, I guess, a whole lot of things I've learned about myself and about God. But one of the most important things I've learned is that your life matters. And very particularly, your life matters to God. You are valuable to God for no other reason than that you are his child. Your value is not something that flows from your productive capacity. I mean, what you do, how rich you are, or the color of your skin, or how intelligent you are. You are simply valuable to God, and he loves you just the way you are. And because of that, because of your uniqueness, because of your intrinsic value as a child of God, God has big plans for you. He wants to bless your life abundantly, and he wants to use you to bless others. God's plan is that your life will be a blessing to others. Now, that's something that you may not have thought a lot about. Maybe you're just starting out on this journey with God, and you haven't thought much about it. I mean, let me tell you, the teaching of the Bible is that your life matters. God has big plans for you, plans bigger than you can probably imagine. And God's plan is that you, not some of you, but each and every one of you, each one of us, would be a blessing to others as well. That's what God said to Abraham right back in the beginning. I will bless you, and you will be a blessing. You will be a blessing. Your offspring will be a blessing to the whole world. And that blessing comes down to you, to everyone who is in Christ. God wants to bless others through you. He wants to bless you and other people through you. So what I want to ask you today is this. What are you doing with what God has given you? Jesus said, don't waste your time building up treasures here on earth where they will literally just rust away and become worthless. Instead, build up treasures in heaven where they will be untouchable, safe forever. Sounds good, doesn't it? Eternal treasures, safe forever. It sounds good, but it's hard to do. If we're honest with ourselves, our heartstrings keep on getting pulled by the things of this world. And it's so easy to let our eyes drift from eternal things. That's just a reality of life. God knows us human beings pretty well. He knows how we're wired. He knows how we're going to trip up, and he knows what we need to do to keep us on track, to keep our focus on eternal things. And he also knows what we need to do to unlock the blessings of God in your life. Have you ever thought about that? There is a way to live that prevents the blessings of God in your life, and there is a way to live that releases the blessings of God in your life. There is a way to live that releases us to be all that he wants us to be. And part of God's solution to this problem is called tithing. You know, Billy Graham once said, if a person gets his attitude towards money straight, it will help straighten out almost every other area of his life. I think Billy Graham was right. Now, for those of you right now thinking, oh, here we go, the money talk. Well, stop thinking those thoughts. In my reckoning, we're about due to hear from God's word about this thing called tithing. I've been here for about 2.5 years and I haven't spoken about money with you yet. If you've been around churches for any length of time, you will have heard this word probably quite often, tithing. You know, it's a bit of a churchy word. You go outside the church and you will never hear. You'll never hear somebody walking down the street talking about tithing. It's a churchy word. It's Christianese. You know, even though you may have heard the word often, you may not have heard a lot of teaching about tithing. Tithing involves money, and therefore we speak about it rarely, which is kind of funny because money was very high on Jesus' list of important topics. Jesus spoke a lot about money because he knows the pull that money has on our hearts. If church hasn't been your thing, then you may never have even heard that word before. I mean, that's okay. Today, I want to take you through what the Bible teaches us about this thing called tithing. What is tithing? Well, the word to tithe means a tenth part or 10%. In the Bible, God tells us that we are to honour him and to give him the first 10%, the first fruits of all we earn. Giving him less than 10% is not tithing. It's giving, which is great, but it's not tithing. You know, years ago, I was standing in the foyer at church, and we had a fairly large church there, and there was a band playing, and I was about kind of waiting to come up to speak, and I was out in the foyer, and I was just waiting for this song to finish. Anyway, this guy who had four kids in the youth group, you know, had a fairly large family, and he had to leave, so he walks out of church, and he came into the foyer, and I was there, and it was kind of interesting because this guy had just before church been showing me this brand new car that he'd bought. And it was very fancy. It was a very nice car for the whole family to fit in. And anyway, as he was going out, he put his hand in his pocket and he pulled out two 20-cent pieces, two coins. And he hands them to me and he says, "Oh, here, mate, I've got to run. Here's my tithe. Can you put this in the plate for me?" And I said, "Yeah, okay," you know. And anyway, he left. And I thought, man, it's lovely that you've given 40 cents, but there's no way that's your tithe. You're not supporting your family, your fairly large family, on $4 a week, mate. We can have this idea that we know what tithing's all about, but we can be really misguided. We can be genuine, but we can be genuinely wrong. So tithing is a tenth, one-tenth of what we earn. So then the next question is, so why should I tithe? Well, I want to give you some reasons straight from God's word, because the reality is this. Virtually everywhere else you look, whether it be in the financial pages of the newspaper, at financial seminars, talking with friends and family or people at work, you will generally receive advice that says words to the effect that it is absolute madness to even consider giving away 10% of your income. I've had people say to me, "Murray, in today's world, it is unrealistic, impossible, naive to give anywhere near 10% of my income to the Lord." Well, maybe that's where you're at today. Can I encourage you to not switch off at this point? Don't make up your mind on this issue just yet. Can I encourage you to be open to what God has to say to you through his word today? Can I encourage you to keep an open mind at this point and just hear what the Bible says about money? I know it's hard, but try to stop your own words from spinning around and around in your head and let God's word speak to you. Okay, the first reason why we should tithe is very straightforward, because God commands it. It says in the Bible in Leviticus 27, verse 30, "A tithe of all you produce is the Lord's, and it is holy." And then in Leviticus 27 again, but verse 32, "The entire tithe of the herd and flock, every tenth animal that passes under the shepherd's rod will be holy to the Lord." That's pretty straightforward, isn't it? A tenth of all you produce is the Lord's, and it is holy. Who remembers the story of Achan? It's found in Joshua chapter 7. The people of Israel had just left wandering in the wilderness. They had crossed the Jordan River, and they're heading into the promised land, and they needed to attack and defeat the city of Jericho. But God said that the loot from the city of Jericho was holy. It was not to be touched. It was his. The people of Israel attacked the city, and they won a mighty victory. Remember, they go marching around the city, and the walls came tumbling down. But this guy, Achan, he ignored the command of the Lord, and he stole, literally kept for himself, some of the plunder that was to be set aside for the Lord. The next town they came to after Jericho was this tiny little place called Ai. Now, Ai was so small that Joshua decided that they didn't need to take the whole army. Just 3,000 men would be enough. They were soundly defeated. I mean, they got smashed. The ripple effect came into play. You see, our sin never affects only us. The ripples of Achan's sin spread throughout the camp, just like ripples on a pond. And many, many men died in the battle which followed. When Joshua inquired of the Lord, the answer was very clear. Israel had sinned. It says in Joshua 7, verse 11, "Israel has sinned. They have violated my covenant which I commanded them to keep, said the Lord. They have taken some of the devoted things. They have stolen, they have lied, they have put them with their own possessions. We won't go through the whole story now. Let's just say that Achan was found out and the people stoned him to death because he disobeyed the command of the Lord. And it says, the fear of the Lord filled the camp because of what had happened. So why should I give a tenth of all that the Lord has given me back to him? Well, simply because God commands it. To not tithe is to sin, simply because God commands it. A tithe of all you produce is the Lord's, and it is holy. That's what the Bible says. And I wonder if we who live in this amazing age where we can do so much, where we're so self-sufficient, have lost our fear of the Lord. Yet the Word of God says that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. That's in Proverbs 1, verse 7. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. We looked at this verse a number of times over the past couple of years. It's an important verse. The fear of the Lord leads us to do as he commands. And he commands us to set aside a tenth of all that we earn from him. So that's the first reason, because God commands it in the Old Testament law. But some of you will say, well, that's Old Testament. Mate, that's the Old Testament law. We don't need to worry about all of that now. We live under the new covenant. Well, okay, let me give you the second reason. Second reason is because Jesus commands it. Thing is, we can get this kind of distorted view of tithing, which is equally wrong. In the New Testament, in the book of Matthew, Jesus confronted the Pharisees about their obsession with tithing. He says in Matthew 23, how terrible it will be for you teachers of religious law and you Pharisees, hypocrites, for you're careful to tithe even the tiniest part of your income, but you ignore the important things of the law, justice, mercy, and faith. You should tithe, yes, but you should not leave undone the more important things. It seems that tithing was the only thing Jesus commended the Pharisees for doing. Unfortunately, they were pedantic about it. They tithed even down to the herbs that grew in their garden. Jesus made a joke of it, saying to them, you blind guides, you strain out a gnat, but you swallow a camel. You're concerned about tiny details in the law, yet your attitude causes you to miss some of the other really important issues, big issues, like justice, mercy, and faith. You see, they completely missed the point of tithing. They just didn't understand what it was all about. And we can do the same thing. The purpose of tithing is made very clear in the scriptures. And it's not because God needs your money. God doesn't need anything. And he certainly doesn't need you to support him financially. As Bono once famously said, God ain't short of cash, mister. Tithing is actually for you. You are called to tithe for your own benefit. And that's the third reason why we should tithe. Because tithing shows that God has first place in my life. Have a look at what it says in the book of Deuteronomy. In chapter 14, verse 23. Eat the tithe of your grain, new wine and oil, and the firstborn of your herds and flocks in the presence of the Lord your God at the place he will choose as a dwelling for his name, so that you may learn to revere the Lord your God always. The purpose of tithing is to teach you to put God first in your life. No other place will do. God is God, and he must have first place in all that you do. The reality is, if God doesn't have priority in your finances, he really isn't first in your life, is he? God deserves first place, but he also knows that it is better for us when he has first place. Everything else will eventually let you down, but God will never let you down. The purpose of tithing is to teach you to put God first in your life. It also reminds me that everything I have was given to me by God. That's the fourth reason. Because it reminds me that everything I have was given to me by God. In Deuteronomy 8, verse 18, it says, always remember that it is the Lord your God who gives you the ability to produce wealth. So rather than feeling I'm giving God 10% of my money, we need to realize that God is letting you keep 90% of his money. Without God's help, you would have nothing. When you think of it like that, it really kind of turns things upside down, doesn't it? Fifth reason, because tithing expresses my gratitude to God for helping me earn income. In Psalm 116, the writer asks this question. In verse 12, he says, "How can I repay the Lord for his goodness to me?" Well, here's the answer. Each of you, Deuteronomy 16, each of you should bring a gift in proportion to the way the Lord your God has blessed you. So tithing is one of the ways that we can express our gratitude to God, and hence it becomes a form of worship. That's why when we pray for the offering each Sunday, we often say something like, as we continue in our worship, we worship Jesus, don't we? By giving, we worship the Lord by giving to him. On the other hand, if you don't tithe, God says you are using money that rightfully belongs to him. And that is stealing. So number six, because refusing to tithe is stealing from God. By refusing to tithe, we steal from God. In Malachi 3, verse 8, it says, God said, will a man rob God? Yet you are robbing me. But you ask, how? How do we rob you? In tithes and offerings, replied the Lord. Bring your whole tithe to my house. I don't know about you, but I find that a pretty compelling reason to take seriously the call to tithe. God clearly says in this passage, when you fail to bring your whole tithe, you are stealing from me. As I said before, God doesn't need your money, but he does want an opportunity to reveal himself to you and to bless you. Have a look at what it says in the book of Malachi. Amazingly, this is really the only time where God says, put me to the test. In fact, in the Ten Commandments, it says, do not put the Lord your God to the test. But here he says, do it, put me to the test when it comes to giving. You see, tithing, this is number seven, tithing gives God a chance to prove to you that he exists and he wants to bless you. Bring me your tithe, says in Malachi 3:10. Bring me your tithe, test me in this, says the Lord, and see if I won't throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that you will not have enough room for it. I'll prevent pests from devouring your crops, and the vines in your fields will be protected from plagues. It's one of the most amazing promises in the Bible. God actually offers you a challenge. He says, I dare you, start tithing and just watch what happens. He not only promises to bless you with more, but he also promises to protect what you already have. You won't find better insurance than that anywhere. Number eight, because it's essential to spiritual growth. The Apostle Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians 8, he said, just as you grow in everything, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in earnestness and love, see that you also grow in the grace of giving. Many Christians remain spiritual babies because they disobey God by not tithing. This is a really important point. If you want to grow in your walk with the Lord, take tithing seriously. In the same way that as you mature as a Christian, you grow in your knowledge of God, you grow in your experience of God, you grow in your ability to love and care for others, you grow in your capacity to minister to others, to pray effectively, etc. In exactly the same way, you should also grow in the grace of giving. That's what Paul's saying. However, the flip side is also true. If you refuse to obey God in the grace of giving, it will hinder your growth in every other area of your spiritual life. Just let that sink in for a moment. If you refuse to obey God in the grace of giving, it will hinder your growth in your knowledge of God, your experience of God, your ability to love and care for others. Jesus said, "For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." I was walking along a beach after some heavy rain, and the rain and the tide had washed all the footprints away. And as I walked along, I did a little experiment. When I focused on my feet, I noticed that I wandered all over the place. But when I focused on the headland in the distance, I looked back and I had walked a dead straight line. It reminded me that we need to keep an eternal perspective. We need to keep our eyes on Jesus, because wherever your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Number 9, because tithing refocuses my life on God. Tithing keeps our eyes on Jesus, and it keeps us from looking too closely at the worries of this world. It keeps our eyes on eternal things. Jesus said, store up treasures in heaven. How do you do that? By investing your money in the kingdom of God. Most of the things you spend your money on will not even last for 10 years, much less for eternity. You store up treasure in heaven by investing in eternal things. There's only two things in this world that will last forever. There are only two things which are eternal, the Word of God and people. It's something to think about, isn't it? The Word of God and people. And the final reason for tithing is because you cannot outgive God. There are more promises in the Bible connected to giving than any other subject. Giving unlocks the promises of God in your life. I don't understand how or why this happens. I just know that it does happen. When you give, God always gives back to you in greater degree. Jesus said, give and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together and running over, will be poured into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. And the Apostle Paul wrote to the Corinthians in 2 Corinthians 9, he says, remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. And whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Some time ago I was asked, should we tithe our gross or our net? Well, which would you prefer the Lord to bless? And which measure would you like the Lord to use for you? The larger or the smaller one? For with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. That's what Jesus said. The other point is, if the Lord commands that we give him the first 10%, doesn't that by necessity mean that we have to use the gross amount? Otherwise, the tax man is really getting the first portion, isn't he? The point is that God wants, and he deserves to have, first place in your life, in everything. He gave his absolute all for you. That's the truth. Jesus laid down his life for you. He doesn't deserve the leftover change at the end of the month. He wants your tithe. He doesn't want your tips. So where should I give my tithe? You know, the Bible's very clear that God expects the tithe to be given back to him at the place where you worship. In the Old Testament, they brought their tithes to the temple. In the New Testament, the tithes were given to the synagogue or to the church. Now, while there are lots of fine organisations, charities and ministries, the church is the body of Christ. From a biblical point of view, only gifts given to God as an act of worship at the house of worship are considered tithes. In Ephesians 3, Paul says, his intent was that through the church, the manifold wisdom of God should be made known. His intent was that through the church, the manifold wisdom of God should be made known. There's no plan B. That's the plan, that through the church. So therefore we say, okay, well, what do we do? Because that doesn't mean that we don't support other charities. I mean, Louise and I have supported Christian Blind Mission, World Vision, Gospel for Asia, the Bible Society, the Bushfire Brigade, Surf Life Saving, the RSL, and various other groups for years. But that is not part of our tithe. I mean, those gifts are given on top of our tithe to the Lord. So when should I tithe? How often? Well, once again, the Apostle Paul gives us some teaching on this issue that might be helpful. He says, on the first day of the week, set aside some of what you've earned and give it as an offering. The amount depends on how much the Lord has helped you to earn. Now, I realise that today, you know, there are some people who receive four dividends a year or four lots of income a year, quarterly. There are other people like myself who get paid monthly, so I tithe monthly. But there are some people who get something once a week, and that can be really helpful for people, that we just give as the Lord, as we're paid, as the Lord blesses us with income, we give back to him. You know, most churches have envelopes for tithes. Ours are available in the foyer. It's good to keep it in a prominent place on your desk as a weekly reminder. Most people, have worked out today that online giving is a great way to do this. The vast majority of our people give online. You work out what you're going to give and you set up the regular payment with your bank. There are many options available to us, more than ever before. The worst approach, I believe, is to just open your wallet as the offering bag is being passed around and hope that there's some cash in there. If you want to get serious about tithing, and I believe God wants us to get serious about tithing, you need to get organised and you need to plan ahead. So what's the real issue? You know, as a pastor, I've heard a whole range of excuses for not tithing. But in every case, an unwillingness to do what God says can be boiled down to two motives. This is the bottom line. The first is materialistic values. If you're more interested in having things than pleasing God, you won't tithe. You may store up treasure on earth, but you won't store up treasure in heaven. The second is unbelief. If you don't really believe God will keep all the promises he has made regarding tithing, you simply won't do it. The bottom line is found in this question: where is your heart? Where does your heart lie? Remember, Jesus said, "For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." So I guess the question is, what is your treasure? And where does your treasure lie? Is your treasure the Lord Jesus and doing his will? Is it in knowing that he wants the absolute best for you? For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Amen. May the Lord bless you as you think through these things.